Are you looking to make a podcast? Well, if you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. First off, it's free. Nothing is better than free. Am I right? Anchor provides creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more services. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, which is very refreshing for very fresh, new podcasts looking to get their start. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. Welcome back to the Swamp, my friends. Today we are going to be covering some creepy and allegedly true small-town stories sent in by viewers just like you. Joining me today is my friend, Monsters in My Mind. They helped me read story number 2 today, and if you enjoy their voice, please check out their channel. You can find the link to do so in the top of the description. Now, without further ado, let's get into these creepy stories that'll freak you out tonight. If you have a story you would like to share in a future video, be sure to submit it at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. So I live in Tennessee, and me and my friends like to do urbex and deep woods exploration. And if we're lucky, sometimes we get both in one trip. But this trip went tits up real quick, and honestly, was the most horrifying night of my life. I live in the northern part of my state, and my friends Mike, Jake, Tom, Chelsea, and her friend Kate wanted to come up here and visit for a couple of days because my mom was out of town. They live in Nashville, and I live really far up north in an east area, in the middle of nowhere. So, they got here at around 12 o'clock in the afternoon. We sat down and talked about normal team stuff for an hour. Please note I'm 16 years old at the time, a male, and I'm 6'5". Mike, Jake, and Tom are 17, around 5'9 to 5'11". Chelsea and Kate are my age and around 5 foot or so. So we decided to go to the forest that we have. We wanted to check it out for a long time. It's about a 30-minute drive away from my house. So we packed food and water, and I brought my dad's 45-70 guide gun, because we have bears. We got in Tom's truck and drove to the forest. We drove down to this river, and hid his truck behind some trees. We hiked for about 5 hours, and then it got dark. We set up camp and had some freeze-dried lasagna around the fire telling dumb ghost stories. We soon tried to go to sleep. We all shared one big tent. We were asleep for probably 30 minutes or so, and I woke up to hear some heavy breathing. At first, I thought Kate and Tom were maybe fooling around, so I was jokingly going to turn around and, with a funny look on my face, ask if they wanted help. As I did, I saw there was still no movement from anyone. Then I realized it was coming from outside the tent, near my head. So I grabbed my rifle thinking it was a bear, and then ready to shoot. I saw a head press up against the tent. I shouted, "I'm armed!" At which point the hand quickly stopped touching the tent, and I could hear footsteps quickly running away. Now, everyone is awake, and I tell them to get dressed, get your stuff, we have to go now. We were all naked in our sleeping bags, because we wanted to wake up in the morning and skinny dip in the river right away. So we got out of the tent, and in less than 3 minutes, I had the tent in my pack. We started our hike back to Tom's truck, but we made a detour off the path to get there quicker. About halfway, we saw an old abandoned cabin and decided to stay in there until morning, but we decided not to quickly. When we opened the door inside, was a pentagram on the floor and animal remains all over. We heard rapid footsteps from the woods coming from all around us. The girls started screaming and we all sprinted back to the car because the detour plus how fast we were going, we got to the truck in what felt like 30 minutes. But maybe even quicker. We jumped into the truck, and when we backed out and saw about 15 people in black masks run out of the woods, we all started screaming and floored out of there. It isn't long before we realize they were following us in a Ford SUV. We lost them after about 20 minutes of driving. We got back to my place and talked about what had just happened. All of us stayed up till sunrise that day. We couldn't sleep. Me and Tom, who was the second tallest at 5'11", and we're both very stocky builds, got my dad's rifle, and we went to go check. We checked out that cabin again so we could call the cops. Now, you might be thinking, why would you go back? Well, me and Tom wanted to see what was there, because we were curious. We hiked back to the cabin that day with our two guns. It took us about 40 minutes. We opened the doors, guns raised, and for those of you who do not know a lot about guns, a 45-70 Government is a warfare caliber made in World War I, and it can kill an adult bear and pierce through any body armor. So, even if I shot one of these guys in the leg, it would still do some serious damage. Anyway, what we found will haunt me until the day I die. We found the naked corpse of a woman. We got sick and ran back to the truck. We saw some guy chasing us, so we got in the truck and called the cops. They got there in 30 minutes and sent 5 or so cops. We took them to the cabin, but the body was gone. There was still some blood left on the floor. They ran it across their database and found out that she was a 19-year-old girl who went missing 5 days ago in the town near mine. After we told the others what happened, we agreed they most likely wanted to use us for blood or some sick ritual. We aren't going back there ever again.
Let me start by giving you a little backstory. I used to work with a paranormal group called TNPI. We decided we wanted to go check out a local paranormal hotspot called Red Ash. This place got its name back in the 1800s because they would take women who were accused of being witches and they would execute them in various manners and their blood stained the soil red. Legend says that the blood-stained soil would never go away. Not even rain washed it out. We made sure it was on a blood moon, as we felt this would be prime time for the paranormal phenomenon. We get there around midnight. Now, this place is out in the middle of nowhere, deep in the woods. The only thing in Red Ash is a cemetery and remnants of an old coal mine. Despite the full moon, it was so dark that you couldn't see your hand in front of your face, and there was a thick fog that hugged the ground, which made setting up rather difficult. We started off with basic things like taking photos and EMF readings. We all were picking up bolts of light that looked like red and blue lightning bolts all around us, so we decided to start EVPs. At first, it was really exciting. We were getting responses to every situation. I had invited the spirits to speak and told them, if you need energy, you can pull it from our equipment. To which I captured a man's deep voice say, how do I do that? We were thrilled. Soon after though, things started to turn a bit more sinister. The deeper we got into the cemetery, the creepier the EVPs. My friend Ashton had just let the voice recorder run as we roamed around and he decided to do playback to see if anything was there. And that's when we heard a female's voice on the recording say, he's coming for you. You'll never leave. It makes a cold shiver run down my spine. Regardless, we pushed forward. We decided we wanted to go check out the old coal mines. Yes, I know. Not very smart. Once we're down there, the uneasy feeling grew. Between the heavy fog and the sparse shards of moonlight, it felt sinister. Before long, I began to notice everyone in the crew kept looking around them, wild-eyed. You all feel that too? I asked no one specific. Ashton looked at me and said, I can't shake the feeling that we are being followed. It feels like it's circling us. A cat and mouse game. That thought electrified my uneasiness into straight fear. Let's just hope we don't end up being the mouse in that situation, I mumbled. Just then, we heard what sounded like heavy footsteps on gravel. We all froze. It was coming from this gigantic old metal tube that looked almost like a pipeline or something. Everyone was adamant that they wanted to leave. Once we all agreed to start making our way back up the hill to where we parked, we heard it again, accompanied by the sound that was reminiscent of someone dragging their fingertips across metal fence posts. I don't know where my sudden burst of bravery came from, but I decided to approach the big pipe. I shined my light inside, but didn't see anything but thicker black nothingness. With Ashton by my side, I took a few steps inside. Again, we hear the slow, heavy footsteps. "Okay, this is too much. Let's just get out of here," Ashton said as I turned to face him since he was a few steps behind me. When I turned and pointed my light up at his face, my blood turned cold. His eyes were huge, nearly bulging. His face was ghostly pale with fear or shock. I couldn't tell which. Hell, it was probably both. I was too afraid to turn around to look at what he couldn't take his eyes off of. All I could do was scream, "What is it? What do you see?" There were a few seconds of silence that hung in the air and rang in my ears like church bells. "Ashton!" I screamed as I grabbed his shoulders. Finally, he broke his stare on whatever it was, and all he did was yell, "Run!" We spun around and ran as fast as we could. People were slipping as we tried to quickly scramble up the cold, damp hill. In the chaos, we could hear what sounded like something huge bounding through the woods next to us. At this point, I think everyone was screaming and fueled by fear and adrenaline. We literally just tossed everything into the truck and cars and sped out of there so fast, the tires threw gravel and shredded the ground. No one spoke the whole ride back. When we finally made it back to the building where we stored all our equipment, I asked Ashton what he had seen. He looked at me, his eyes still filled with fear, and said, "You wouldn't believe me if I told you." "Try me," I said, because honestly, I had never seen him so shook, and he isn't the type to just make up stuff. If you could have seen his face, you would have known he was being dead serious. After a few minutes, he pulled me aside and said, "When we were in the tunnel, behind you, there was something I have never seen before. It had humanoid features, but was definitely not human. It had extremely long and slender fingers and hooves for feet. He was watching you. It was following us up the hill. He ran on all fours. This thing was evil, Pookie. Real evil." He always called me Pookie when he was happy or afraid. Shortly after this ordeal, Ashton swore the thing had followed him home and that he would see it roaming around his backyard. He said it would scratch at his bedroom window nearly every night. Ashton stopped doing investigations. He was never really the same again, truth be told. I still feel guilty that this has impacted him so badly. Needless to say, none of us have ever dared to step foot back in Red Ash again.
I have a few stories to share from my small town in Kentucky. The first story happened 6 years ago. I had to move in with my sister, we'll call her Matilda. As I couldn't find an apartment at the time, and where she lived was a partial ghetto neighborhood in Louisville, Kentucky. In this area, a large square section of warehouses and other buildings are connected on every side of it. Walking on it takes about 30 or so minutes. So, one night, I had gone out for a walk after sundown. I was roughly 60% done walking the big square lot area when I got to where there's a little park adjacent to where I'm walking. A glass drink bottle went flying in front of me, and another flew by, both missing me by mere inches. I took to running down the rest of that street like an Olympic sprinter. I only stopped once I got to a busy road and looked behind me to see my attacker hiding behind a tree. I heard his voice calling me a coward or something like that. The second story was in the same house I lived in with my sister Matilda and her friend. They told me they were going to look for some house appliance units, stuff like washers, dryers, microwaves, etc. And when they left, I went to take a shower upstairs. As I'm walking, I happen to just look behind me, and I happen to see what I think is a ghost of a senior woman walking upstairs with me. You have no idea how bad I got scared. I went, took my shower, and waited outside for them to return. I later asked my sister if she saw anything strange or weird in her house. Eventually, she did tell me she used to see an apparition and described it in the same exact detail as to what I saw. I know these stories aren't too long and they're definitely probably not the scariest thing you've ever read, but I do appreciate you sharing them, and if anybody has any idea what we may be seeing in this house, whether it's like a haunting or a poltergeist or something, please let me know in the comments below. I'd really appreciate that. I've got a story for you. I'm not exactly sure what category it falls in, but probably under creepy. Both of these have taken place when I was on a trail crew. The first one was back in 2016. I had just joined the California Conservation Corps and was living at the Greenwood Center, which is in the middle of the El Dorado National Forest. It's easily a 45-minute drive. The closest town was only a grocery store and gas station and a pizza parlor. The closest biggest town was another 30 minutes away on top of that, on a winding canyon road. So, we were pretty far out there. Calling this a small town would be an overstatement. This is more like a village or a settlement. I was living in the dorms with three other roommates. One was on the phone with his girlfriend, and the other was playing video games. The one right below me was fast asleep and I was reading a book when all of a sudden, I heard what sounded like a very young child laughing outside of her window. At first, I thought it was the TV, so I looked down and saw my roommate looking in the direction of the window. He heard it too. Everyone was woken up. I was just staring out the window looking out into the woods. We all agreed that it was weird and didn't really speak about it. A few months went by, and I moved into a different room at this point. I have new roommates this time as well. I was in the room alone, watching a movie, when it sounded like something walked past my window. I've spent a lot of time in the woods to know the difference between an animal and a person, and it definitely sounded bipedal. The next morning, I was getting ready for work, and I asked my old roommate who was there that night we heard what sounded like children laughing, and he said he heard what sounded like someone by his window. This was my first supernatural experience when I was working in the woods. My second encounter was something entirely creepy and has left me confused and disturbed to this very day. I was sent out to Plymouth, California, another small town out in the middle of nowhere. We are working with California Fire to do a 40-acre field breakout in the middle of the local forest. It was winter, and it would snow off and on throughout the entire work week. I was running a chainsaw that day. Me and my Swampert went on the edge of the field to break and continue where we had left off previously. It had just snowed recently, and when we got to where we had stopped, there was a pair of children's boots just on top of the freshly powdered snow. There were no tracks, no blood, no nothing. They were just there, and they looked like they'd been there for a long, long time. But the thing that bothered me the most is the fact that they were put all neatly together on top of the snow where we had left just the day before. So I already sent you one of my stories, but I decided to send this one because I recently told it to one of my good friends, and his reaction genuinely surprised me. He seemed honestly unnerved, but I hadn't considered this story anything too odd. I figured I'd share this here, as now looking back, I can't honestly figure out an explanation for what we saw. So, hopefully the swamp dwellers can help us out. Some context is needed here. My grandparents live in Washington, in a small town fairly near Mount Rainier. Their house is one of the relatively few up on the forested hill. And their backyards lead to a big pasture, beyond which is just woods, and a good chunk of it is their property. My grandfather is also a hunter, and so he has an old tree stand, a wooden platform high up in between two trees. This platform is where me and my little sister and I would convert into a sort of playhouse. We'd spend hours out in those woods, and I know them like the back of my hand. I've seen some odd stuff out there, but this seems by far the weirdest. This happened roughly around 2 or 3 years ago in the summer. I can't actually remember a specific time. My sister and I had been out there by the tree stand, and it had been a gorgeous sunny day, though it was now early twilight. The light shining through the leaves is a sight I will never forget. These woods are truly beautiful, and I love spending time in them. We'd wander off, and a little ways away from the stand though, out of the line of sight, we found a fallen tree with a small natural ditch under it. Being the kids we were, my sister and I hid under the log and pretended to be soldiers hiding in a trench. It was then that I noticed it. Straight ahead there was a clearing, clearly in my view. In it, someone had taken branches and set them up so they formed a circle standing upright in the clearing. This looked deliberate, and it was perfectly balanced. My sister and I thought this was cool at first, so we ran out of the ditch and up to it. Here, things started to get weird. As I mentioned earlier, my grandfather is a hunter, so I knew what sort of things were active in the woods and when. He'd always refer to twilight as the magic hour, when the forest would come alive and all the animals would be moving. He'd also warn us that if the woods ever got silent, as in true, complete silent, we were to go home immediately, as the silence meant a predator was near. He's seen bears, wolves, and bobcats all in this area. I bring this up because as my sister and I approached the circle, the woods suddenly got dead quiet. We could hear our own breathing and our footsteps on the soft ground, but there were no birds, no squirrels, nothing. It was like we were on mute. We inspected it closely, but it didn't seem to be anything more than just a standing circle of twigs. And although it was definitely odd, we weren't too scared. I noticed it was getting darker though, and so we decided to go home. Nothing weird seemingly happened after that. The sound returned as soon as we could no longer see the circle, and we made it to our grandparents' house without any incident. The next day we went back to see it, and it had collapsed, though it looked like someone had deliberately taken it apart, not like the wind just pushed it over. Looking back, the thought that someone had come into a private property just to make a circle of trees and then take it apart honestly unnerves me. Why do that? And was that their only purpose? Was it for art, or was it intended to be scary? I honestly don't think I will ever know, and I don't like that thought very much. If anybody has any ideas what this could be, please comment down below letting me know. And thank you, Swamp, for sharing my story. I want to tell you about the time I was almost kidnapped, assaulted, and murdered. I grew up in a small town in South Jersey that was only known for their drag raceway and the junkyard that housed a Boeing plane. I went to high school at a private school about 40 minutes away from my house, so there was only one bus stop for about 8 of us, and that was about a 10 to 15 minute walk from my house at the local baseball fields. So, it's 2001, and it's my sophomore year of high school. I'm way too awesome to have my mom take me to and from the bus stop at this point. It's also fall, and a lot of kids that normally would be getting off at the bus stop with me are staying after school for sports and other activities. About a week into the school year, I notice a white van parked behind the fields at the bus stop. I honestly don't think much of anything of it at first. I just happen to spot it, and none of the other kids even seem to notice. Okay, no big deal then. Well, as the weeks roll on, the van is parked in the fields every day. Well, the van is slowly inching closer and closer to the way I walk from home, from all the other kids. Again, being a naive 15-year-old, I really don't think too much of it. Maybe the guy is here on his lunch break. Maybe he's waiting for someone there every day. Maybe it's another bus stop. Who knows? At this point, I still haven't mentioned the white van to anyone else. So, after about 2.5 months into the school year, this white van, still there, is still getting closer. So, one night at dinner, I casually mention to my parents that the van has been there every day. They both look at me and each other. I laugh all nonchalantly and blow it off like it's nothing. Unbeknownst to me, my mom is overthinking it. So, the next day, I get on the bus to go home, and none of the other kids are at my stop on the bus. They are either staying after school or are absent. Okay, cool, whatever. So, we get to my stop, and I'm looking out the window, and don't see the white van. Sweet, it really was a coincidence, all is good. Very, very wrong. I get off the bus and the white van is there, the closest it's been. Okay, so my heart starts pumping and panic sets in. I whip out my trusty Nokia in case I have to call 911. Then I set out and start walking home. Well, again, unbeknownst to me, my mom was like, heck no. There's something up with that van. So, she decided to come to the bus stop. But in order to act all nonchalant, she walked my dog in case it really was nothing. So she's walking up behind this wooded area before you reach the fields behind where the railroad tracks are. So as I'm walking closer to where the white van is parked, it starts backing out of its spot and pulling up closer to me. I feel like I'm about to vomit now. I dump my book bag, drop the damn phone, and just start running. The van is on me now, and as I look over, for who knows why, the side door was open, and there's a guy in the back. I let out a blood-curdling scream, and just as I do, my mom comes barreling over the railroad track screaming as well. And my big dopey dog, not knowing what the heck is going on, starts barking like crazy. The guy slams the door, and then the van peels off. I collapse into my mom, crying my eyes out. We go home, and then she takes me to the police. Well, I never happened to notice the license plate, unfortunately. And my mom, in pure panic, never looked either. And the guy I saw was a nondescript white male in his mid-20s. So, it was very useless to report. Nothing really ever came of it because I didn't have many details except a white van. So back about 9 years or so ago, I lived in Kingsport, Tennessee with my family. I have a friend we will call Alex. Now, I met Alex in middle school, and we became very good friends. We always hung out after school. We were both around 13 or 14 at this time. I used to stay over on weekends, and we would stay up late playing video games or watching TV. One night, his parents decided to go out and have a night to themselves, leaving me and Alex home until around probably midnight. An hour goes by, and we're playing Halo on Xbox, having fun like always. Now, a side note, Alex's family has 5 fairly large dogs they keep in the basement when they go out so they don't destroy the place. So, like I said, an hour or so goes by, and we're just enjoying ourselves. Then, out of nowhere, we hear the dogs start going nuts in the basement, and we play it off as they heard a car go by or something like that. Well, that goes on for about 5 minutes, and they're still barking and losing it. And it doesn't sound like they're stopping anytime soon. A second later, we hear the basement door open and slam shut, and then something runs up the stairs, up to the second floor where we were at in the room. We hear the door from the washer open and then slam shut, and that was it. The dog stopped barking, and it was eerily quiet again. We called his parents seeing if it was just them getting home, and they told us they had just gotten to the restaurant and asked why we called, sounding so scared. We told them what happened, and they didn't believe us by the sound of our scared voices. But they thought something had to have happened because we were just genuinely scared, you know? You can tell when somebody's scared. They told us to stick it out and wait for them to come home and that everything will be fine. His house always scared me, and trust me when I say this, we stayed the night at my house from now on. I grew up in a very small place, where you wouldn't necessarily know everybody, but you are familiar with the people in the town. This story happened when I was maybe 15 or 16 years old, so about 15 years ago at this point. I was on my way to practice one Saturday morning when I noticed an older man on the corner ahead staring at me pretty intently. Being the nice person that I am, I smile and wave at the guy as I pass. Back then, I smiled at everybody. I then stop at the same corner, waiting to cross the street. The guy comes up right behind me, and I vaguely remember smelling him, feeling him breathing on my neck. I'm a bit worried, but brush it off as being overreactionary. The light changes, and I cross the street, and this guy speeds up walking behind me, mumbling something to get my attention. I must have looked terrified, because a woman begins to walk next to me asking if I know the guy. I tell her that I honestly don't, and she stays and pays with me, and has me go in the local grocery store with her. We get to the store, and the lady immediately grabs an employee at the register for help. At this point, I'm shaking in fear, trying to hide behind people standing by the register. They are discussing something. I'm not sure what, because the guy that was following me was now staring at me through the window, making a clear, throat-slicing motion. Honestly, at this point, I'm just paralyzed, too terrified to move. The people at the store gathered around me to make me feel safe. I'm pretty sure I broke down in tears when he did that. And soon after that, the cops came and I watched them arrest this man. I honestly don't remember much after that besides my parents picking me up from the store and going to the police station. My dad actually worked as a dispatcher in town at the time, and he told me a few days later that guy was off his meds and had been brought into a local psych hospital for treatment. I never saw that man or the woman who saved me after that ever again. To my guardian angel, I never got the chance to thank you for protecting me. Thanks for listening to these creepy and allegedly true small town stories sent in by viewers just like you. If you have a story you would like to share in a future video, be sure to submit it at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. If you enjoyed these stories, please hit that like button as it helps me out a ton. If you're new to the swamp, why not join us? Hit that subscribe button and turn on notifications to never miss a new video. I upload them almost every single day, on everything natural and supernatural. These stories were pretty creepy. Honestly, I don't know what I would do in any of those situations. When I was younger, I did have a similar situation to that white van one. I think a lot of people probably have a story with a white van or some sort of creeper. Anyways, I really did appreciate these stories, so thank you guys for sending them in. If you enjoyed my guest, Monsters in My Mind, please check them out and subscribe. Their channel link will be in the top of the description. If you're unaware, you can download your favorite Swamp Dweller Scary Stories on iTunes, Spotify, Podbean, Stitcher Radio, and many, many others. I know some of you don't always have data to be able to listen to YouTube videos, so these are great options for you. I'll see you guys soon with another creepy video. Oh, and if you made it all the way to the end, let me know by commenting the code word Hopping Shrek. Let's see how many people we can confuse in the comments who didn't make it to the end. Tally ho, my friends.